Hi, everyone. Welcome to the third solo episode of Be the People. I just want to say that if you've been taking the time to listen in on any of the episodes, I really appreciate it. This has been really exciting for me. I actually have a backlog of upcoming guests, and I've had some great conversations. I've been having a lot of fun. And if there's any feedback you have or anyone you want to hear an interview with, I am all ears. Please feel free to DM me, leave a comment, anything that works for you. But I've been having a really great time. So if you're listening, thank you. And I'm really glad that you're here. I hope it can bring you maybe just a little bit of like sanity in this crazy world. All right, so we're going to get into it. How was everyone's Valentine's Day? Question, do we like Valentine's Day? Do we celebrate Valentine's Day? I've never really been that big into it, which I feel like is a little off brand because I love so much. But I'm also married to a woman, and I think we just do a really good job of like celebrating things, you know, not to say that, you know, every day is Valentine's Day, because that's not it. But I just feel like, I don't know, I don't want to sound insensitive to people who do love Valentine's Day, I guess. I just feel like every day should be an attempt at making your person feel special in some way or another. Next year is the Super Bowl on February 14th. So I feel like people are making kind of a big deal of it and saying it's going to cause a lot of rifts. But honestly, if my team, Go Birds, make it to the Super Bowl next year, I'm celebrating Valentine's Day with Jalen. Like, period, end of story. And my wife is going to throw on her AJ Brown merch and be by my side. So, like, let's not get it twisted. Anyways, let me know your thoughts. What did you guys do for Valentine's Day? My wife and I went to see Hannah Burner in Philly. She got me tickets for Christmas. It just so happened to be over the V-Day weekend. But on the actual V-Day, that was Friday night, on Saturday, we ordered takeout and watched a murder documentary, which if that doesn't say love, I don't know what does. Speaking of the murder doc that we watched, let's get into what we're watching. On Valentine's Day, we watched the Scream murder docuseries on Hulu. Really disturbing. And honestly, my biggest takeaway is if you have any young person in your life, whether it be, you know, someone that you mentor, a niece, a nephew, obviously with your own child, you're going to think of this anyways, but like who their friends are really matters. And I feel like when I was growing up, that was true. But I think in today's world, it's even more scary just because of the internet and the world we live in. Like, my niece is very sheltered and very innocent and still like a very young little kid, which I love. But like sometimes she'll just randomly tell me a story of someone on the bus and what they said. We don't know what's going on in other people's homes, what other kids are able to watch or what video games they're able to play. The only reason I'm going into this is because in this documentary, this kid basically had like a very traditional life, a big group of friends outside playing soccer. This was also in like my high school years, so early 2000s, kind of pre-iPhone, I would say. Like they were recording on a chunky video camera, which I used to have. I actually still have it, and I have some of the tapes, which is hilarious. But anyways, he got caught up with this other kid who was like really into the idea of killing people and basically had like a hit list. I always assume that someone's gay Like any show I'm watching, I'm like, that person's closeted. This person's closeted. I'm always kind of like, that's my go-to. And oftentimes people will be like, Veronica, not everyone's gay. But spoiler alert, in this one, he was. So there you have it. Anyways, long story short, the whole reason the murder happened is because of the influence of this one kid, this friend that he had on his life. And so I really just think it's like a huge takeaway. Like whoever the kids in your life are surrounded by, that's who they're going to listen to way more than their parents, in my experience as a kid. Okay, so we watched that. Disturbing, interesting. I would give it maybe like a 7 out of 10. I mean, we were on our phones. It wasn't gripping. It was just wild. Well produced, I would say. I guess I'm late to the game because this documentary came out a few years ago, but it's called Love Has Won, The Cult of Mother God. It's on HBO Max. Within the first 30 seconds, I was feeling nauseous because of how incredibly disturbing it was. I heard about this documentary from some friends a few weeks ago. They couldn't believe that I had never seen it because they know my love for cults and also just like weird shows, things that are disturbing. And so, like I said, late to the game, but if you are into anything culty or a little bit disturbing, this one is going to stick with me for a while. I can feel it already. Like, it has made me feel really weird. It's basically about this woman, the girl, who believed that she was Jesus or God. And she really gained a lot of followers. This was also kind of like I think it started before iPhones and like Instagram and things like that. But it lasted for years and years and years. She gained followers through YouTube at first. And it's just wild. And I was just having a conversation with someone. The reason this one I think is going to stick with me is because the girls that followed her are like girls we all know. And it's, and they're still in the cults in some way. Like, well, this isn't giving anything away because you find out in the first like minute that the leader, mother, she died. So in the documentary, even though there's like a ton of footage of her, they're interviewing in real time her followers and they're still talking about her as God. And they believe that like we're in a 3D world. And if you subscribe to the 3D world, you could never understand their religion and their beliefs. And the girls that you're watching are like our friends and our neighbors and the girls we went to high school with. Like, it's wild. And they also believe that Robin Williams came to them, comes to them, communicates with them. Which, like, you know, I definitely believe in spirit guides and reincarnation and, you know, perhaps like a thin veil at times between worlds. However, this has taken it just a tad too far and it's wild. So if you haven't seen it already, again, I think I'm probably behind, but worth the freaking watch, although very disturbing. The other thing that my wife and I watched over the weekend is the America's Next Top Model documentary on Netflix. And wow. So here's a couple of takeaways. First of all, growing up in like the 90s and early 2000s, I knew that skinny culture was a thing, However, it didn't seem as drastic at the time because it was such a direct reflection of the times. And the documentary does touch on that, but like, holy fucking shit. Looking back on it in today's world and the things that were said to, I don't even want to say women, but girls on national television and what was allowed to air for us to watch was insane. Just looking back and seeing that was insane. And I feel like there were certain people in the documentary that took accountability. They had a lot of like the early cycle models on the show, and that was very eye-opening. I don't know if you watched, if you remember Shandy, but like the whole, I remember the way it was marketed that Shandy cheated on her boyfriend. And I even said to my wife, I wonder if they're going to show that girl who cheated on her boyfriend, because that's how I remember. But no, if you hear her story and you rewatch it, this girl was blackout drunk. Had no idea, doesn't even remember what she was doing. I think she weighed like probably 110 pounds, was not eating, said that she drank 2 bottles of wine on her own, which like if I drank 2 bottles of wine on my own, I would probably be the same way. And I definitely don't weigh 110 pounds. And also going in a hot tub. Have you ever had a couple drinks and then gone in a hot tub? I mean, that's just a recipe for disaster. So anyways, this poor girl was essentially, I feel like I should put a trigger warning, assaulted. And yet the entire country believed that she willingly cheated on her boyfriend. And just looking back at some of the other stories, Tyra, in my opinion, who I've always been a fan of, after watching this documentary, no, she really doesn't take accountability. She feels very performative. Like she isn't, there isn't a moment that I feel like she's being genuine or sincere. You can tell the entire time that she's thinking about how she's going to come across, which is very counterproductive, because the more time you spend thinking how you come across, the less likely you are going to come across in a positive way. So I don't know. Feel free to disagree, but just based on the other stories that I heard and then cutting to her, her accountability was more like accountability. It just wasn't real. So anyways, also I feel like in a lot of ways skinny culture has come back around, and you know, it's a sensitive subject because obviously everyone's different. Everyone has different bodies, different things that they struggle with, and of course, like, you know, there's new medication out there, and if it works for some people, I think it's beautiful. I just think as far as the media goes, it's starting to feel like it's everywhere again. And I think there was a good chunk of time where we kind of veered away at least a little bit. I mean, obviously it's always in the media and it's always on our screens. I have to be careful during like when it's Love Island time, when I'm constantly watching these people and what their bodies look like, it definitely affects my brain and the way I'm thinking about myself and what I should look like. And I just think the more we see it and the more it's like shoved down your throats, how could you not have a reaction to that in some way, especially women, obviously. So it was an interesting thing to look back on as well, because as far as we've come in a lot of ways, have we? So yeah, if you haven't watched that, I would just, you know, look at the trigger warnings before going into it. Okay, couple of other quick things that we're watching. Does anyone watch The View? Okay, so my wife and I keep like Channel 6 ABC on basically just all day in the background. I know that by the time I'm logging on to work, Live with Kelly and Mark is going to be on. The news comes on. Sometimes I have the volume up. Sometimes I don't. At 11 every day, The View comes on. I'm not a religious viewer, but it's on. And Alyssa is out on maternity leave. And so there's going to be some guest co-hosts, I guess would be the word, coming on throughout the next few weeks. And this week is Savannah Chrisley, which like what? So first of all, when the Chrisleys were pardoned, when her parents were pardoned by Trump, they discussed it on The View, as they do, and she had kind of spoken out against what they were saying. I mean, basically, the consensus on The View was that, you know, they were pardoned because they're famous and wealthy. So even though they committed crimes, that they were able to, you know, get out of serving the appropriate amount of time or the time that was sentenced to them. So there had already been some back and forth, but also, Savannah Chrisley is a very active supporter of Trump. She's a very active supporter of Turning Point USA. And she's like sitting next to these women who are very clearly much more liberal and do not have the same views. Now, that being said, should they be able to sit at a table and disagree and, you know, talk about the things that bother them on either side? I mean, ideally, sure. But as everyone's aware, in today's political landscape, it's really not that simple. It runs much more deep. And so I'm just curious what's going to happen. I think I will be tuning in, which is probably why they're doing it, to get more ratings. But it's just kind of wild to me. So anyways, if you didn't already know that, I did not know that until today when I saw her sitting there. And I was aghast. So let's see how this goes. There's a new season of Love is Blind. I am aware that Love is Blind is a dumpster fire, which is exactly why I love to watch it. I will say, thus far, they've only released the first chunk of episodes where it's basically the pods and then the first bit of their trip. And so, from what I've gathered, I feel like there's been a lot of seasons in the past where you can tell that they're not into each other physically once they meet. And thus far, it feels like all of the couples are very much into each other, which is exciting and refreshing. However, really sets the stage for a hella mess coming our way. So I'll be curious to see where it goes. If you are into Love is Blind like me, I think it's setting itself up to be a pretty good season. Last season felt like a shit show. I don't think any of the couples actually ended up getting married, although sometimes I get the show confused with Married at First Sight, which is also just wild. But at least there's like doctors involved and experts to help, you know. These people are just raw dogging it. However, I think last season was the season where the one girl basically saw him and decided she didn't want to be with him. And then they had a reunion and they all kind of hated on her. And there was like the whole thing about who should get the ring, which also they're not buying these rings. I'm certain the guys aren't buying the rings. And so if they decide not to be together, the guys are just popping off with thousands and thousands of dollars with this ring. I'm just curious what the legalities are like behind that, you know? So let me know if you're aware. And lastly, the other thing that I'm watching / consumed by is Where the Hell is Nancy Guthrie? I know as of right now, they're comparing the glove that was found to their DNA sample database, which apparently has like over, I think they said like 20 million samples. So not really sure how long that takes. But listen, I know like this is in my TikTok algorithm, so I see it everywhere. And this is not a novel thing to say. But back in the day, you put me and a couple of my girlfriends together and a bottle of wine, and all we really need is like a first name. I can easily tell you from that, you know, where he works, how many kids he has, find his like ancestry and me. What is it? 23andMe, ancestry and me. 23andMe match. Like, I just feel like what's going on, which is what makes me feel as if it's some type of a conspiracy, which I know that's, you didn't know this was going to be a conspiracy pod, but here we are. Here we are. So anyways, that's been consuming me. If you have any leads, you know, feel free to send them my way as I crack this case wide open. But in all honesty, I just think of the people I know that are in that age group and vulnerable, and it really bothers me. If you have like a senior in your life, and you know, it's just, they're already towards their, the end of their chapters, and it just feels really, really, really unfair. So anyways, that's what I've been watching. The only other thing I will say is I feel like this year the Oscar nominees are movies that I would actually enjoy and want to watch, and I don't think I've really watched any of them. My wife is obsessed with Hamnet, so that's obviously on my list. I've heard that One Battle After Another is insane and I need to watch. I'm a big Emma Stone fan, so Begonia's there. I think I'm going to go down the path of trying to watch them so that I actually feel like an emotional stake in who's going to win, because I do enjoy watching the Oscars. So that's the only other thing on my docket of what we're watching. For my last segment, one thing we're not talking about enough, I'm going to say it, hormones. So here's the thing. As a woman, it's crazy to me that the main driver of our body, like the thing that is basically the deciding factor of our days and what we feel like doing and what kind of person we will be, is something that is so unknown and like we can't really know for sure ever. I recently started logging my cycles, and I also started birth control for the first time in my life with the hopes that I could feel a sense of control over, oh, this is where I am, this is how I'm going to feel, these will likely be my symptoms, and just to feel like I have like some autonomy. And I will tell you, I've had the opposite experience. I've had like a complete switch up in understanding where I'm at and what's coming. And I just think it's like so fascinating that I could be feeling, you know, irritable and moody and all these things and still have no idea. Okay, maybe it means that I'm at this part of my cycle, when in reality, I could be completely wrong. So my question is, where's the research? Because I can 100% guarantee you, if men got their periods, the research would be there. They would have like some type of an implanted app to tell you exactly what's going on, like different cute little names for their different hormones. There would be, you know, fantasy football, but in like hormone zones instead. And there would be like teams, and it would be so talked about. No one would cringe at the thought of like a woman talking about what is going on with her body every single day. And we would know exactly what the fuck is happening? I just think men will never know the struggle, and it's frustrating. So I think we need to talk about it more. I know, like, at least in my algorithm, people are starting to talk more about, like, oh, you're in your luteal phase, which is notoriously a really tough phase in the cycle where you're feeling all the feelings. So I understand it's becoming a little more normalized, but I think what we don't talk about enough is, like, the unknowns, and that sometimes it's like, well, it could be this, but it also could be this. I just don't know. So I'm just going to raw dog my way through this day and continue to do all the things that I would normally do because I have no other choice. Also, I took a walk today and I was outpacing this man that was a little bit in front of me. And so I was trying to slow down. I was in, like, a dark jacket, a hat, but I guess he could, I don't know if he could even tell, like, what type of person was behind him, but he did not look over his shoulder once. And we got to a distance where, like, I was pretty close behind him, and this man wasn't scared one bit. And I thought, what must that feel like to walk down the street and not look over your shoulder? That's super dark, and I'm sorry to end on that note. But speaking of hormones, that's where I'm at this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this very chaotic solo episode. Next week, I'm really excited. I interviewed my sister-in-law, Mandy. She owns her own business, and we talked about a million different great topics. I'm super excited for you guys to hear. And yeah. Thanks for listening. Bye.